Wednesday night, we had a packed house and a great time of fellowship. I told people that were here that it was not all you could eat, but it was more than you could eat, and sure enough, it was. So thankful for everyone that was here. We took time and we handed out these pumpkins. We asked people to put on them, to write on them, something they were thankful for. And if you weren't here Wednesday night, we're going to hand them out. And if you were here, just go ahead and pass them on back. You guys were here, weren't you? Okay. Were you here Wednesday night? Okay, well, here. Everybody gets a chance to write on there what you are thankful for, okay? And just pass them on to the back. We'll pick them up after church. You all were here, just pass them on back to maybe somebody who wasn't here. It was really exciting to read them later on. I think the top answers were things like family, health, Jesus, my wife. I don't know if I saw in there my husband or not, but I did see my wife, so we won't talk about that. But I had a great time. I loved getting around and meeting different people, talking to, wow, what a blessing to visit with Mr. Hamilton, who was here, and Jeff's father-in-law. And he had lost his wife around 4 years ago, and it was a good story of how God is working in his life, even in the midst of that grief, married about 59 years or so. That's what I love about these dinners, is getting to visit people and to know their stories. On a lighter note, Charlie Guffey was here, and I said, Charlie, has anybody ever told you you look kind of like Bobby Knight? And that was supposed to be funny. But anyway, maybe you all think he looks like Bobby Knight. I don't know. But anyway, he said, I've been told that. And Ann said, well, yeah, people he used to work with said that he treated them like Bobby Knight did. And he told me, he said, did you know? He just came up with it. He said, did you know Bobby Knight recently was hired by a furniture store in Bloomington? I said, really? He said, yeah. He says, if you buy a couch, Bobby will throw in a chair. So you just never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen at the Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, Dave can use that. You can use that as well, Leonard. But anyway, Leonard and Dave. In fact, Charlie might have heard it from Leonard or Dave. But anyway, as we get started, though, we've got a couple, two or three things I want to do today. One is this. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. And I want to give you a little insight, and I have papers for everyone to take, and I've got more than enough for everyone. I made extra copies. I was privileged back in the 90s to know a guy named Peter Marshall, whose dad, Peter Marshall, was the chaplain for the Senate at one time. His mother, Catherine Marshall, wrote the book entitled The Helper, which is probably one of the best books you'll ever read concerning the Holy Spirit. Peter Marshall, as well as David Manuel, and then another guy not related to them, but in the same vein, David Barton, they're guys that went back to our roots, our American roots, and dug through all the papers, documents, and noticed that there was a pattern of Christianity, that these people were not just wanderers and trying to escape and trying to do something different and try to be, I mean, there was truly a pattern in their life. They were God-fearing, Jesus-loving people. And the first Thanksgiving, history in a lot of settings will not tell you this, but if you go back to the roots, you will see that God truly had his hand on these people who came to our country. I want to show you a picture. Janie and I saw this on our trip to up in the Northeast, went to Philadelphia, went to Boston, went through New York onto Washington, D.C., but at Plymouth Rock. Are you able to pull that up? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's a picture of this peregrine white cradle. It's at the museum there in Plymouth that you can go through. And this was on the Mayflower. This was literally on the Mayflower. There were, and you may have known this already, but there were two people that were pregnant on the Mayflower. Lucy, can you imagine that? On the Mayflower. Not a passenger ship, not a cruise ship, a cargo ship. And these people were down underneath the deck in an area about like 5 feet or so high, or maybe not even quite 5 feet high. And they had, there were no rooms. It was just a room. And they were basically fending for themselves, trying to overcome sickness and all kinds of other issues, but made it safely. I thought, what faith and hope these people had to bring this cradle with them, pregnant. This was the cradle for the first baby that was actually born while the Mayflower was there at Plymouth Harbor before they actually got in and landed. So the first U.S. born, you know, citizen of these pilgrims that came to our country. When I saw that, there were a lot of great artifacts there. But when I saw that, that just stuck in my mind. I wanted to share that with you today because these were people of faith that trusted God to get them here. These were people that came, and let me just, anybody remember a name, William Bradford? Anybody ever heard of William Bradford? Okay, he actually wrote this, okay? Listen carefully. They had a great hope and inward zeal of laying some good foundation for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be even as stepping stones unto others for performing such a great work. Obviously, they had a strong sense of call and mission. So these people came to these grounds as missionaries to propagate the gospel. They were leaving one part of their motherland. They were being persecuted. And they went to another part, Holland, Samaria's up there, and you can read it all in the details of Peter Marshall's article. But as they came here, they were literally seeking God and helping, asking God to help them propagate the gospel of Jesus. Now, when they got here, I don't want to go into all this, you'll get to read it for yourself. But when they got here, they were greeted by a gentleman who walked up, an Indian, a lone Indian, in March of 1621. Of course, they landed in 1620. But in March of 1621, this Indian walked up, loincloth, walks up and says, "Welcome, Englishman." His name was Samoset. And it talked about a little bit in the article about him. But there was another person that came with him named Squanto. Squanto was not just your typical Indian. He was a Christian. And the story about how that all happened is just amazing, how he was captured, taken back, sold as a slave, and then he was bought by a monk and taught the Gospels and came to faith in Christ and then came back and was released in the U.S., I mean, which we call the U.S. now, obviously. But think about that issue of how God had his hand years before these pilgrims showed up to see this. And the weird thing was the group that Squanto was a part of, his tribe, was wiped out because when the pilgrims landed, there were all these bones in that area. There was a group of Indians that had this plague that went through and killed them so quickly they didn't even have a chance to bury each other. And so they found all these bones, and some people thought, well, maybe, oh, somebody came through and massacred all these Indians. No, it was a plague. Squanto was part of that tribe. If Squanto would have stayed here, he would have died. But God, in some miraculous way, caused him to be captured up as a slave, taken back over to Europe, and came to faith in Jesus, came back, and he was the one that helped the pilgrims. Now, folks, there are things that are kind of like, oh, what a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, you know? That was divine providence at work. So there's more to the story you can read. But I just want us to think about Thanksgiving is more than football feasts and family, okay? It's this idea of God's hand on our roots. And I want us to think about that today is as we move forward, that God's hand wants to be on each of us in these days. Now, the theme of our sermon series is entitled Better Together. And today we're talking about being members of one another. Members of one another. I want to look at one quote I picked up last week, if we could look at that. It's from Christine Kane, which I found out afterwards. She actually spoke at the different schools around here a couple years ago. She said this, "We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable." And let's read that last sentence together. We are all better together. What does that mean? Let's talk about what Paul says. If you join me over in Romans chapter 12, we'll look at some verses together. And actually, we'll begin at verse 3, okay? You can see it up on the screen if you want to look along in your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, or you can check it out on the screen. Paul is giving his readers, the church at Rome, some great stuff here. And you'll recognize the two verses before this, which aren't on the screen. But I want us to start at verse 3, okay? "For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Now listen to this verse, verse 4. "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others." Would you join me in reading that underlined part at the bottom? Each member belongs to all the others. sometimes I get onto people and they may think I'm just a little bit almost legalistic, but I am a firm believer that we need to do life together, okay? I'm just not in favor of people that say, well, you know, I can love Jesus and read my Bible at home, and I can pray on the golf course or out on the boat or wherever I'm at. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, we may think that, but that's not what the Bible says. In fact, if you look at Romans chapter 12, some of the most quoted verses that I love are right there in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, where he says, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. And he goes on and says this, it's holy and pleasing. It's your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, here's the deal. We look at those verses and we're like, that just nails our faith. That's what it's all about. We don't want to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We want to be conformed to the pattern of Jesus. Amen? We want to live according to his will for our life. We want to live according to his Spirit filling our lives. We want to be guided and led by him. Yes. It's Jesus. Yes. It's being transformed into his image. And for that to happen, his mind needs to be controlling our mind. Yes. And not the other way around. Well, it doesn't work the other way around. But it's his mind controlling our mind, his thoughts, his impulses, his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, all those things we read about in the Gospels. I was convicted in my reading this last week, came across a guy that said, a lot of times we talk about the writings of the Old Testament, and we lay all those out, the prophets, the priests, the kings, all those people in the New Testament. We're talking about Paul. How much time do we spend in the Gospels? I was like, wow, that's a good thought. And so the Lord just used that to convict me. And I'm already starting it. I'm just going to live in the Gospels daily. In my devotions, I know I'm all over the Old, New Testament, Proverbs, Psalms, but I need to make sure I'm spending ample time in the Gospels. And that really is what the foundation is for what we're going to talk about with this one another thing, because Jesus had his disciples all together as members as he traveled. Jesus was hardly ever without one or all of the 12. In fact, as we celebrated a while ago, these elements, Jesus understood the value of better together. In fact, Jesus in the whole coming of the Holy Spirit only took place because of what happened in the upper room. Some of you have been in that upper room, and you know what that's like. What that place looks like. What it just to know that the Holy Spirit came and dwelt among them and overpowered them, and they were empowered for service because they were all together. We've got to stop believing the lies Amen. Of society that say you got to do it your way. You got to, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to be up to you, and you got to just gut your way through, and you got to be your own person. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, I thought it was so powerful how we're looking at this scripture on the heels of one of the most powerful scriptures in Romans 12, 1 and 2. How are we going to live out having our mind transformed? One of my friends, he jokes about church ought to be entitled Sinners Anonymous because we're in rehab. I thought that was pretty good, you know? So I texted him this morning. He wasn't going to be, are you getting to a meeting? You know, I got to get to a meeting. I hear people, you know, I think that's probably an idea. You know, we've got to get to that members of each other. That's what Paul was talking about. I love the song by Casting Crowns. It says, if we're the body, if we're his body, why aren't our arms reaching? Why aren't our hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we're the body, where are his feet going? And why is his love not showing them the way? It's all about this. It's in our hands. And he gives us all these one another statements to carry this thing out. Let's look at them. Let's go to the next slide, if we could, please. The first thing is this. The body is made up of many different parts. And I am so glad. I am so glad the body does not all look like me. That would be a disaster. It would be a disaster, I promise. And I can't tell you all the ways, but maybe Janie can fill you in. It would be a disaster, you know? But the good thing is we're not all the same. We're not all the same. And that's what Paul is describing in another teaching in 1 Corinthians 12. We were just in Romans 12, but in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this, for the body is not one member, but many. There are many different, there are tall people, there are short people, there are thin people, there are not so thin people, there are attractive people, there are plain people, there are people that are academically smart, and then there's the rest of us. All kinds of different personalities, hard-charging personalities, laid-back personalities. They've even put all these personality profiles together. They talked about, well, are you more like a golden retriever, you know, and just kind of like the loyal dog? Are you like an otter that just wants to play all the time? Are you the owl who's wise? You know, they have all these different animals. They try to describe the personality profiles. We're different. Some of us can sing. Some of us can play instruments. Others can teach. Some can organize social events. Others can fix things. And on we go. And this is the deal. This is the point. God accepts us all into his kingdom. Yes, you want to talk about being inclusive? God is inclusive. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. He is inclusive. It just bugs me, and I'm not going to go off on this. It bugs me. Some of the most inclusive people I know, when I start talking about Jesus, get defensive. And they start getting exclusive and rather rabid, but that's another story for another time. We have unique ideas. We have unique tastes. We are called to value everyone. That's the first thing Paul lays out. And each of us can contribute something. The second thing is this. Paul teaches that each member of the body is important for the proper function of the body. The foot can't say, he says it, you know, let's look at these verses, go on down through here if we can. The foot doesn't just say, you know, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body. And all these things that we just look at, these verses down through here, it's important. We are all together in this thing. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smell be? I love it. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 12, it says in verse 18, but now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. God put us in his body. We're here for a reason. And probably the reason we suffer is we forget this simple fact. God put us here for a reason. He needs each of us. I looked at those tables of desserts on Wednesday night, and I thought, wow, what a great variety. And as it's a picture of us and the fact that we have great variety in this congregation, in this community, and we are all needed in this community. What if the preacher would have said to the nursery worker, I don't need you, we'd be in trouble. We need the nursery worker. If the children's teacher said to the worship teacher, I don't need you, no, we need each other. If the usher who said to somebody who prepares potlucks, well, we don't know if we need you, yes, we need you. We need everybody. If you come and volunteer and somebody says, well, I don't know if we need you, would you please come tell me that, okay? If you want to volunteer and somebody says, I don't know if we need you, I'll figure something out, okay? We will put you to work. And it's not, and when I say that, I'm not talking about we'll give you a chore. It's just this is exciting to be part of the body of Jesus. I loved it Wednesday night, the people that were here to set things up and get things organized, and then the cleanup crew. I never had so much fun being part of a cleanup crew before. It was great. We had people moving tables and chairs and vacuuming and picking up. And all. I mean, this is awesome. To me, it was the body working, you know. It really takes all of us. And I think that's another reason we have those fellowship. If you want to know another reason to have fellowship dinners and things like trunk or treats and other events, it's just so the body can get together and just have some fun, you know. Just have some fun. Never thought wiping tables could be fun. It's fun. If you're not having fun wiping tables, come see me. We'll go have fun doing something else, okay? All right? We'll go look for leftovers in the dumpster. We'll do something together, okay? I'm just checking to see if you're still with me, all right? The third thing is this, okay? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, no member of the body should feel that he or she is more or less important than another member of the body. Look at what he says. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts of the body which we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts we think that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. What Paul is trying to tell you is everybody matters. Everybody matters, even the hidden parts. Now, I'm going to get in trouble right here because I noticed we had a couple of doctors that showed up this morning for worship. So I'm going to try to give this to you and see if I'm close here, okay, Dr. Dr. and Mrs. Thomas. Here we go. I've studied this. I may be right, I may be wrong, but it says this about the body. In 24 hours, the body basically has 100,000 red blood cells, okay? That's pretty awesome. That's pretty big. But listen to this. In 24 hours, okay, your heart beats, studies say, 103,689 times. Wow, 103,689 times your heart beats. Now, I once dated a girl, it was about half that, but that's another story, okay? All right, you just think about that, okay? Your blood travels 168 million miles. Your lungs breathe 23,040 times. You move 750 muscles. Your nail grows, I don't even know how they get these statistics, but they do. Your nail grows 0.00046 inches. Your hair grows 0.01714 inches. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, that's not working. Your brain exercises 7 million brain cells. What am I saying? It's those little things, those things that we can't even see that matter so much, that matter so much to the body. That's what matters to us as the body of Jesus. It's not just the guy standing up waving his arms or the people leading worship. It's each one of us that matter. When we go out in the community, people hear about Harris Chapel. Invariably, it's one of you. It's like I have a relative, I have a neighbor, I have a friend that is part of Harris Chapel. Every part matters. Went and saw Tim Tebow just a week or so back, and there we are in Worthen Arena. And it wasn't just Tim that showed up, you know? It was the light people. It was the sound people. It was the gentleman and his crew that built the beautiful set on the platform. The platform was a football field, if you can imagine. It was beautiful. It was the worship team. It was the people that were helping with the worship team, the instrumentalists. Everybody had a part. If you go to Lucas Oil Stadium, you know that everybody has a part in making that. It's not just a single guy named Luck on the field. It's the whole bunch that makes that thing happen. Everybody has a part. Can you say that with me? Everybody has a part. Let's say it like you mean it. Everybody has a part. And if you don't feel like you have a part, come talk with me and we'll get you involved, okay? I seriously mean that. And the last thing is this, okay? Paul teaches this, and this is so vital, and this goes back to Jesus, because this is what Jesus talked about in John chapter 17. There must be unity in the body. He says, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I was visiting Commonway Church yesterday because the grandson was there doing some work, and so I wanted to see the church. They have a beautiful facility there. I pray that God will prosper their church. I pray that God prospers all the churches around us because we need each other to build up the body. And then Paul finishes up by saying, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. The body should be united. I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, I'm not telling you what to believe or not. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Because if the body is not united, instead of ease, we have dis-ease in the body. And the body's called to be united. Now, let me see if I can borrow Lorraine for just a minute at the piano. Okay, Lorraine? If you'll turn to hymn number 85, okay? Now, we can't do this on the screen. You need to get a hymnal, okay? Everybody get a hymnal, okay? Number 85, all right? And I'm going to borrow Jeremy. You got a microphone, Jeremy? We're going to talk about unity this morning, okay? We tried this in the past. We didn't really do that well. We're going to see if we can do better today, okay? All right. What's that?
This is going to be fun.
It's going to be fun, yes. Has anybody heard of song number 85? Did I pick the right song? Is it one you know? All right, let's try this. Jeremy, have you got a microphone that's on there?
I do.
Okay, come on over here, sir. We're going to have you lead here, okay? We're going to have you lead this side, okay? You ready? We're going to talk about unity on this song, ready? Okay, you guys sing the first verse, okay? You can play whichever verse you want, okay? All right. First verse, ready? Okay, we got to stand on this. Let's stand, okay? You guys are going to sing the fourth verse, okay? You ready? Ready? Let's see if we can do this. Ready? Here we go. Ready? All right, go ahead.
When we've been there 10,000 years, Christ shining as the sun. God's praise as when we first sing.
Okay, now Just one more thing we're going to do now, okay? Now, for some of you, are like, well, that wasn't so hard, because we were all singing together, and we were all singing together. Now, if you're standing next to somebody else, okay, one of you pick verse 1, and the other one pick verse 4, okay? Everybody, ready? Everybody. Jerry, you get verse 1. Jody, you get verse 4, okay? Just pick, you guys pick a different verse. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Ready? Here we go.
Where is it next? His house is his bright shining as the sun. When all this day
thank you. All right, you may be seated. Now, that's what happens when the body doesn't work together. I can do my thing over here, you know? I mean, I just meet somebody who says, well, you know, I could never join your church because I'm a Baptist. I can never join your church. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Catholic. It's about Jesus, you know? And the same thing happens at Harris Chapel. It's not like, we got this class over here, we got that home group, we're the best home group, we're not going to get into that, we're the best Sunday school class, all these things that go on. It's not that at all, because we're the body of Jesus. And Paul said that. That Paul, again, we're going to see it next week as we look at another phase of this whole one another thing. And that's why we exist as Harris Chapel. We're one another in this thing. Paul says, united together, working together. If one part of the body suffers, we jump in and help that person. If one part of the body celebrates, we jump in and celebrate. I'm part of a crazy group of people on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 5:30 at the downtown YMCA, the Spinners. And in our spinning class, if somebody has a birthday, we all celebrate. We just have a great time. If somebody has a problem, we share it in the group and we pray for that person. We just have one of our ladies in class that has a 4-year-old. They just found out that this 4-year-old has leukemia. I'm like, dude, we got to pray for that. We're going to have crazy fun and celebrate birthdays and all kinds of stuff. But when one part of the body, the other part, we're going to be there for them. That's the deal. Our church body, when somebody's in pain, we join and help that person. When somebody's celebrating, we join and help that person. Here's the deal. Let's make the conclude, the wind this up. You got to get into the body, okay? Get into the body. Get in. God wants you to be part of a local body of believers called a church. Yes. We not all have the time to document it today, but it's biblical. It's spiritual to be members of this body. We're with this. You know, it's interesting, if something were to happen to us, and you know what it's like, if you have a sinus infection, your whole body feels that thing. Same thing in the life of the church. Understand another thing is we celebrate, or value, I should say, value the diversity within the body. Different ethnic backgrounds, different personality types, different socio-economical groups, different gifts. And third, recognize your importance to the body. Everybody has a place. Everybody is vital. Every week our worship folks are here at 8:30 and they're practicing because they matter, that as we come to worship, they lead us. Sunday school teachers and home group leaders are working on the Word week after week and preparing the Word. We have nursery workers. We have people who do the lawn care around the church and do the flower beds. Find your part in the body. If you're a hand at Harris Chapel, then put your hand to the plow. If you're a leg, then get a running start for God. If you're a liver, do whatever livers do. You know, help keep the body pure. How's that sound, huh? If you're a mouth, start talking up Jesus and stop talking down about others. If you're a heart, then get busy beating for Jesus. In other words, get into the body. Find your place. We've got a little guy that every week, he does a couple things here at church. During prayer time, his name is Thatcher. He comes up and prays. And another role he has is after the service is over, he makes his way up this aisle or that aisle and turns off the cross. That's his job. And some weeks he'll come in and say, got to do my job. And I get out of his way. He's got a job in the body. What's your job? Well, the first thing we need to do is to get in the body, we need to get into Jesus. Amen. You know what? I think the more you're into Jesus, the more you'll get into the body. If you're just into yourself and your way of thinking and your ideas and the way you were raised, that's going to be in conflict with getting into the body. But let's get into Jesus. Amen. I'd like us to stand this morning as we wind this down and invite you. Would you stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed? I promise we're going to sing a song at the end of the service, but we will all sing the same verse at the same time. But while we're just waiting now in this moment of prayer, if there's anything you want to come pray about, heads bowed and eyes closed, how can you, you know? And maybe you know somebody today. I'm just thinking right here. Maybe you know somebody today that's just kind of fallen out of fellowship. I'm not picking on anybody in particular, but everybody in general. How's that sound? Okay? And you say, you know what? I miss them in the body. There are people I've talked with the last couple weeks, people I've gone to visit. Not to pick on them, but to invite them. I just say, I'd love to have you in the body. If you feel like I'm picking on you, maybe that could be the Holy Spirit, you know? I'm just the messenger, and I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to listen to the Spirit. What I'm hearing as I study week after week in these messages is that we are better as the body. Paul just knocked that over again and again and again. He kept hitting that nail. In Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, he just kept hitting that theme again and again and again. Let's talk up Jesus. Let's get to work. Let's be unified in the body. Anybody want to come and pray this morning? And maybe just something not even related to this message. Maybe you want to come and represent a prayer need that you know of, a prayer request. So grateful that Gerald and Carolyn are here, and I know we just need to keep praying for Gerald as he's dealing with a feeding tube. I know we need to pray for Don and Gail Lephart and just so many others. Maybe you want to come and pray and represent them at the altar. Sarah and Brian and Joe are at the National Youth Workers Convention. They'll be coming back later today. We want to pray that God uses what they've learned this week as a powerful tool to help minister to youth in our community. What a great start they had this last week with an after-school middle school program. They've launched at one of the schools. They're going to go launch it at the other school too. And what a blessing that is. If the kids don't get here, we're going to go there, you know? We want to get them to Jesus. And that's what they were talking about this week on Wednesday afternoon. Pray for this outreach effort. Pray for the needs of our community. Pray for our country. Wow. What a time we need to hear about unity in our country. Amen? Come on. We need it. And I pray that we will transcend a particular party or an ideology to get lined up with a theology that says, you know what? Jesus can transcend political partisanship and Jesus can be Lord once again. He's really not Lord right now in our country. I'm sorry to say that. He is Lord over our country, but he's not really in charge of our country right now because there are too many divisions. Jesus, we need your help in our country. We need your help in our families. We need your help in our community. We need your help in our church. And as we've looked at this scripture throughout the week, we understand what Paul was saying. For us to be transformed in the renewing of our minds, we've got to get this member thing down. We've got to understand the value of each other. We've got to understand the value of lifting up your name and putting away division. And Father, in the midst of our prayer needs, we understand the value of focusing on your word and on your will and on your direction for our lives and our hearts. We pray for those who are at the altar this morning, Jesus. We know we have so many needs. We have family members. We have friends. We know people in the community. Just visiting with a guy yesterday that, and we think also Bill Caudill, as well as this other Bill I visited with yesterday. And this other Bill just knows that his days are numbered and his soul is fine. It's just that he's just kind of waiting for his body to shut down. So we pray for him today. And Jesus, we pray for Bill Caudill today. And we pray for others who need a touch from you today, Jesus. We think of Don and Gail, especially Gail Lephart today, Jesus. We think of families that will gather this week for Thanksgiving, Jesus, and we just pray that there would be a spirit of thanks that would just flood our homes, our community, Lord, giving thanks to you, God, for your blessings and for your will and your direction in our lives. For the unspoken request, Jesus, minister to each one, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel better being together with the family this morning. It was awesome Wednesday night, and here we are again this morning. Blessed through the remainder of this service, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated.